Good afternoon, NFB. I've always wanted to do that. I am the chairman of the Xavier Society for the Blind. At one point in my life, I spent 12 years in Nigeria. And one of the things that was very important in Nigeria was to be sure to acknowledge the important people who were in an audience. So I acknowledge Dr. Maurer. He and I went to the same school, you know, the University of Notre Dame. And Notre Dame gave him an honorary degree last year, recognizing the fact that he is much smarter than I am. Of course, I'm older than he is, so that's all right. We acknowledge the members of the board and the members, the presidents of all of the affiliates, and of course, you guys, all protocols observed. But as long as I'm acknowledging things, one thing I think has been under-acknowledged is the fact that the NFB is 70 years old. So, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday. Happy birthday! Da-da-dum. All right. So, you're 70 years old. Of course, you know, by our standards, that's not very much. We were formed in 1900. We're 110 years of service to the blind this year. We are based in New York, but we're a national operation. We have clients in pretty much all 50 of the states, and we are able to serve some people who live outside the United States. One of the great joys of coming to convention has been to meet people who are clients. Andy has been a client of ours since 1951. And he reminded me that I'm not the first. Father Anthony LeBeau, who was the director, spoke to this convention in 1973. Andy's been around for a while. I met a 10-year-old girl from Alaska who's been a client of ours for 3 years. And Deborah wrote the best article about the Xavier Society for the Blind that has ever been written. It's been great fun meeting our clients. We're a group with a mission focus that has not changed since we began. We provide religious and spiritual material to individuals who cannot deal with traditional print. We're the Xavier Society for the Blind, but that includes people who have visual impairments, those who are seriously dyslexic, those who have tremors or other physical limitations that mean they can't deal with print. We're there for them too. All are eligible for our services, services we provide without charge, as we have since we began in 1900. We're primarily Roman Catholic, although not exclusively. We have Protestant writers and we have Jewish writers, and we have some we have no idea what they are. We lend books in all three formats, Braille, large print, and audio CDs. We're a registered library, so you can get books from us through your local library system, and we send them to you as well as directly to our clients. Now, we are not the place you go if you want the latest Harry Potter or the girl with the dragon tattoo. But we do have books for young children. We do Braille catechisms for blind children who are going into classes with sighted children. We do have 12 periodicals that we record each and every month. We do have books for teenagers and young adults. We have old-fashioned spirituality, and we have new-fangled spirituality. And we love it when people suggest books to us. We have very smart, very wide-read people who increase our library, but the most exciting thing is when our clients and our friends make suggestions of books they would like to read. Although our mission remains the same, the ways we provide it are in constant change. When we started in 1900, we started out using New York letterpress. The first director, who was a Jesuit, very quickly figured out Braille was better. And so we switched over to Braille almost instantly. We had some of the very first large print typewriters that were ever made. We were among the first to put books on records, then on tapes, and now we have digital CDs. We have a website. It's not a very good website, but we're working on a new one. And my tech people have said, please don't say this out loud, but we hope to have the new one up by Labor Day. A new and greatly improved version that will let our clients and our donors keep in touch with us better and handle their own services more easily. We look to the day when they will be able to download books and audio materials directly from the website onto computers, onto Braille readers, onto whatever you've got. Of course, paying for all this is a constant problem. Since we don't charge, and since our staff members like to eat regularly, we have to find other ways of raising money. And so as you leave the hall today, there will be people standing out there with baskets. I'm just kidding, Doctor, I'm just kidding. But we all know times are tough. And despite the occasional voices that say, oh, things are getting better, we do not believe them. We can only anticipate that fundraising will become more difficult in the immediate years. And so as we looked at the future, we decided that the only way that we would be able to survive would be to expand. So we have expanded our fundraising efforts. We do benefits. At a recent benefit, I shaved my beard for the first time since 1986. So if I met some of you last year at the convention who are sighted and you don't recognize me, that's who I was. We got the $5,000. And so I shaved. I said if we got a second $5,000, I'd shave my head, but that didn't seem as appealing. I sing concerts. I sell my CDs, all to make money and to let more people know that we exist. We sponsor golf tournaments. We're doing a big benefit at a New York theater next year. We lead pilgrimages. Last year, I took a group to the Holy Land. This year, we're going to Greece and Turkey. In the footsteps of St. Paul. We have 3 blind people registered for the trip this year, and all our materials are provided to them in Braille. This is a commercial. If you'd like to go on the trip, there are still a few seats available. And we are running a raffle. The first prize is 2 tickets on the pilgrimage. Airfare, 7 nights on a ship cruising the Greek Isles, food, all expenses. The tickets are $65 a piece, 2 for 100. Second prize is $1,000, third prize is $500. The reason I say that is that we have donated 2 of these tickets as door prizes here, and I would love it if someone from the Federation won and came with us to Greece and Turkey. But outreach to donors is the smallest part. Our biggest effort is outreach to get more clients. We are launching a program now to try and reach out to veterans. I'm of the Vietnam age, and if you listen to Colonel Galliano this morning, you know some of the problems that are occurring more contemporaneously with returning veterans and eye injuries. There are a tremendous number of veterans who are having eye problems, and we would like to reach out and let them know that we are related. We also hope to launch our Spanish language division before the end of this year. We're going to start in audio first, and then as we reach out to the Spanish-speaking audience, we'll move into Braille and large print. We currently serve more than 10,000 clients around the U.S. and Canada. But in 3 years, our business plan calls for us to expand and have a certified client base of 30,000. Yeah, by the 2013 convention in Florida, yay! We will be able to report that we have expanded our client base by at least a factor of 3. Now, I want to take a minute to speak about the National Federation of the Blind. When I became chairman of this operation a little more than 2 years ago, I had no idea what God had in mind. When I was a young actor, I had read for Recording for the Blind. When I went to Nigeria, we did a lot of work with the Pacelli School for the Blind, and when we opened our very first school, we had 6 blind students in the Charter Pioneer class. When I started, I discovered that the patron saint for the blind is St. Lucy, whose feast day is December 13. My birthday is December 13. tell me God does not have a sense of humor. But let's be honest, I knew very little about what I was getting into. And so when I started to explore and do my homework, I found the NFB. I became an associate member. I registered us as a charter member of the Reading Rights Coalition. And as Dr. Maurer said, I went out and I marched on the picket line. I went to the convention in Detroit, and in spite of the round hotel, I was blown away. It was an amazing experience, and I was so impressed that we are back this year. We have a table in the exhibit hall. Our executive director, Kathleen Lynch, is here, and my technology director, Donald Salvato, is here as well. We are here. Yeah, we're here to promote the Xavier Society for the Blind, but even more, we are here to learn. If I am any good at my job, it is largely because of what I have learned and continue to learn through my association with this group. Yeah, the technology, that's important, and the basic education and skills, yep, that's important. But most important is the philosophy of how to deal with the world. And Dr. Maurer and the folks at the Reading Rights Coalition and the staff at NFB and the time I spend on the computer, the chat room, with Blind Law and all of the members I have met here and throughout the year and have spent time with, thank you. I owe you a great debt. And in these days in Dallas, that learning process has continued. I haven't yet been able to get to Louisiana to spend a couple of weeks being trained and getting some hands-on training, but it's on my list of things to do. And I know that whenever I have a problem or a question, I have a huge list of resources I can call on, and they are all filed under NFB. So thank you, and thank you. Now, in that same vein, I have to say that at the Xavier Society for the Blind, we are committed to Braille. We are committed to expanding its use and promoting it whenever possible. We use large print, we've got audio as well, but the importance of Braille in our work is paramount. We were one of the earliest agencies to use Braille. We have a staff of 12, and two of them are certified Braillists. And we are proud to be known as an agency that uses and encourages the use of Braille. Now, a couple of months ago, and I'm telling the truth, I'm not making this up, a couple of months ago, I had a dream. Now, I'm not doing a bad Martin Luther King imitation here. I really did have a dream. And it was a dream about giving a speech. And it was just before I was supposed to give the speech. And I was not prepared, and I was nervous. And I suddenly had this bright idea that for this group, and I, in the dream it was unclear what the group was, but the idea was what was important was not what they were, but what they could become. And I remembered that when I woke up, which I do not usually do with dreams. And it occurred to me that this was a good description of what we do at the Xavier Society for the Blind. And it's also a really good description of what we do, if I may use that pronoun, at the NFB. We help, at the Xavier Society, we help our clients to grow in the areas that they need. We start with what they are, and we help them to move to what they can become. And as I have learned from the National Federation of the Blind, there is nothing they cannot become. And if anyone has any doubts about that, I tell them about the video I saw about young blind people driving a car. I said that to a friend of mine once a couple of weeks ago, and they said, driving a car? I said, yes, I've seen the video. They said, next you're going to be telling me we're going to have blind pilots. I said, I got news for you. We've already got blind pilots. There's nothing that blind people can't do. Fly planes, drive cars, play golf. And I want to tell you from my own experience, it is easier to fly a plane than it is to shoot par.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, oh Lordy. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. But if not living this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
I'm not done yet. You have to forgive me if I burst into song every now and then, but I'm from New York. And the New York affiliate has a long tradition of singing, and I'm just trying to keep up the tradition. Since 1900, the Xavier Society for the Blind has been shining our little light throughout the United States. We were started by a group of women who wanted to do something to help the blind, and that continues to be our motivation today. The ways in which we are able to serve has grown. The kinds of people we are able to serve has expanded. We welcome suggestions and comments, and heavens knows we love complaints, because that makes us do our job better. We always welcome contributions. Two of our staff are visually impaired. One of our board members is legally blind, and we are hoping to shortly add another board member who is blind. We recently did a massive computer system upgrade. And when we did, we made sure that the systems we installed were accessible so that we could consider blind candidates for future jobs. We are constantly changing, and we invite you, and let's be honest, we need you to be part of that process. If you haven't visited our table in the exhibit hall, please stop by in the time we have left. That's table 48, just two down from where they were selling the snack packs. If you haven't visited our website, it's www.xaviersocietyfortheblind.org. I know it's long, but it's really easy to remember. And for heaven's sake, if you're ever in New York, please come by East 23rd Street and have a cup of coffee, take a tour, and most important, meet our staff. Now, I'm a Jesuit priest, a Roman Catholic priest. And so as we say in the trade, God bless you. God bless all of you here. In these days of celebration, certainly God bless the United States of America. And above all, God bless the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you.